Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word, how it speaks into our lives, how it molds us, it shapes us, Lord. It changes us more into your image, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your spirit, Lord, and the urgings of your spirit, Lord, the unction of your spirit, Lord, which causes us to act, Lord, on your behalf. We thank you for this book of 1 John, Lord, and I know it's really speaking to my heart, Lord, and I trust that it is to all the ladies, Lord. Again, thank you for gathering us here tonight. Pray that you would continue to speak your truths into our lives, Lord. Anoint your word to go forth tonight. Mold us, shape us more into your image. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're looking specifically this week at 1 John 3, verses 11 through 18. And it says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should no longer, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him?" Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm going to change this because somehow I got the wrong version up here, and I will start again. After this, I was reading from the King James. I'll read from the New King James because I know that we all have that version. Starting in verse 11 again. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And I titled this week's message, "Worldly Love versus Godly Love." And I think that it was very well spelled out here in these verses. But I think if we look mainly at verses 17 and 18, I think all of these verses are wrapped up in those two verses. When again it says, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." This whole passage is about loving one another. Verses 11 right through 18, we see the opposition between Cain and Abel, and murder coming in here, and hatred and all of that, which of course we know is the opposite of love. And he comes down and he says, if whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life abiding in him, how could he? If we have hatred and God is love, they're opposites. You can't have one and the other together. They're opposing. So you're either going to be loving or you're going to be hating. But I do think it all boils down to serving one another. And in verses 17 and 18, if God has blessed you with earthly riches, and I think in this country we are very well blessed, and you see that somebody has a need and you do nothing about it, how does God's love abide in you? How can you see that somebody's hurting, that somebody has a physical need, yet not act upon it? And our lesson was very good about bringing out what are the excuses we use for not acting. And I think a lot of times it's, well, I don't have the time, or, you know, I don't have the money, or I don't know, I just don't feel like it sometimes. But really, if you're asking the Lord and you want to be about his business, that conviction is going to be there and it's going to be stirring. And you almost can't not act upon those urges when they come. And he says, my little children, in verse 18, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So don't just say, I feel for you, I know you're hurting, I'm really sorry for what you're going through, but do something about it. You know, we're talking about Lori here and having surgery. And so what are we doing? We're putting action behind knowing there's a need. We know she's going to have a recovery period coming here. And so what are we going to do? We're going to put some food on her table so she doesn't have to worry about that. We have had other needs come up before the body. I was talking to Holly today from the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center, and about a month ago we had they had a need arise for a couple of families who had no beds, no furniture, anything. I was talking to her today because we have a neighbor across the street who's moving, and they're just giving everything away in their house, and you know, most of it's gone, but guess what, they have a bed. So I called up Holly and I was like, do those people still have a need? She said, Karen, they do everything on the floor. They have no bed. They have no table. They have nothing. So I went back to the guy's house. I was like, that table? He goes, we want to get rid of it. I'm like, I got somebody who will use it. He goes, that recliner? I'm like, they'll take it, you know. So, and that's what we need to be asking, Lord. You know, just yesterday, there was one of the last questions was, ask the Lord to show you how can you meet somebody's needs. So I was like, okay, Lord, how can I meet somebody's needs? Well, I can't, but my neighbor can. Mm-hmm. And is it a little weird to go to your neighbor and say, I see you're moving. Do you want to give any of your stuff away? Well, guess what? He was like, yeah. I would love to give it away. You know, yeah. They don't live here. They have no need for this stuff. Yeah. And I was like, well, we can pay you for it. He's like, we don't want anything. I'll just give it, you know. So not only is it meeting these people's needs, it's blessing this man as well. So God is like that. But don't just let it be words. Okay, yeah, I'll think about it. I'll see what I can do. I'll pray about that. But actually putting it into action. And, you know, I've done that many times. I'll pray about that. I'll, you know, and then I do nothing. You know, I sit on it and forget about it sometimes. I mean, here it is a month later from when those messages first went out, and, you know, I hadn't even given it another thought. But all of a sudden, after praying that thing, that prayer yesterday, didn't the Lord do something? So it's amazing. So I have a question here. I don't really have a long message this week, but I have a question I want to look at, and we're going to answer it through some scriptures. But what are we doing with what God gives us? God's given us all different talents. We all are in different financial positions, but we all have talents. We all have time. What are we doing with what God gives us? Now let's go through some scriptures and see what God says about that. We'll start in, and these are all very familiar scriptures. We'll start in James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Oh, why did that go to Genesis? I don't know. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? So we know this is the big section on being hearers of the word. Not being hearers only, but doers of the word as well. And some people say, well, I have my faith, but then they don't ever act on their faith. So what does it profit if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Our words are nice, but they really have very little value. God's word has incredible value, but our words, go in peace, be comforted, really isn't going to help somebody who's hungry or doesn't have a bed to lay on. There's something physical, tangible that they need. Thus, also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Remember, works cannot save us, but what we're doing with what God's given us shows our faith. And I know not everybody has a financial way. Not everybody has a family moving across the street. But some of us have Facebook, and they put out there, does anybody know anybody who can help in this situation? And there was a response to that. You know, some of us have time. We can... Maybe we know somebody's in a situation, we can volunteer to babysit children. We can drive somebody somewhere to a doctor's appointments, whatever. We can maybe pick up some groceries for somebody who we know can't get out. There's so many things that we can do. And really, the hardest thing for us to give, I believe, but probably the best thing we can give, is our time. It's so hard for us to give up our time. But I think it's incredible value. I remember when I was pregnant with Mariah, I had incredible morning sickness where most days I was curled up in a ball on my bed because the nausea was so incredible I couldn't even lift my head off the bed. Well, this lasted for about 3 months, and I had Noah and Hannah, who were both under 5. Well, I had a friend who would come over, and she would just take the kids and they would walk. There was a playground in our neighborhood, and they would walk to the playground and so that I could sleep. She'd come over. She'd clean my kitchen. So sometimes we can give our time. Can you clean somebody's house? Can, you know, go over and vacuum for them? You know, call somebody up and say, I know that this is going on. What can I do to help? A lot of people will say, oh, you don't need to, but sometimes we can insist, well, I'm coming, so what can I do? I had Jackie come when my back was out. I could hardly walk to the bathroom. She came and she cleaned my house for me because there was no way I could do it. So even if financially there's nothing you can give, we can always give of our time, and that will bless people. Proverbs 31, we studied this last year. We saw our virtuous woman in verse 20 of Proverbs 31. She was merciful. It says, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches her hands to the needy. So what can we do with our hands that will bless somebody? Use your hands. If financially you're able to do that, then praise the Lord. Financially bless somebody. But what more can you do? Can you cook a meal for somebody? Can you just go spend some time? Can you take some groceries to somebody? Can you cook, clean, babysit, whatever? Find out, listen, have your ears open, have your eyes open. What needs do you see? People may not always tell you there's a need, but if you pray that prayer that we were encouraged to pray in the end of our study, Lord, show me the needs that are there. Guess what? He's faithful to do it. Like I said, I never would have gone to my neighbor and said, can I have that stuff? You know, but the Lord prompted me. That's that unction of the Holy Spirit, and he'll do that in other instances. You know, he'll show you the needs. He'll show you where to extend your hand. He'll show you what you can do. Along those same lines, Psalm 82. verse 3 says, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. Maybe you just see somebody being mistreated, and maybe you need to speak up for them. Or maybe you need to be a voice for somebody who... maybe you know that somebody has a need. You can't fulfill that need, but maybe you know that somebody else can fulfill the need. When I talked to Holly today, she said, well, yeah, this family could use that bed. They could use that table. We have no way to transport that stuff. She said, we need somebody with a truck. Maybe you know somebody with a truck, or maybe you know somebody with a trailer that could help. Well, yeah, we got a need. We've got the stuff. We just can't get it from one place to the next. So maybe you know somebody who can help get stuff from one area to another area. Speak up. Do justice. Whatever. Maybe you have time to go serve in the food pantry. The kids at school a couple weeks ago, the entire high school, middle school, I think right down to fourth grade, went and served in the food bank. Let me tell you, they were so blessed. Mariah, Hannah, and Noah all did it. They all came home, and they were talking about they filled flour, bags of flour up and all this different stuff. They spent, I think it was 2 hours there, and it was great. Involve your kids in things like that, you know. But stand up for those who have a need. Speak up for them. And again, if you can't directly meet that need, maybe you do know somebody who can meet that need. Well, I hear that this is going on, and I can't do it, but, you know, do you know so-and-so? I think they might be able. Here's a phone number. Here's, you know, a contact information. And, of course, we all know this story, familiar, the Good Samaritan, but let's look at Luke chapter 10. Beginning in verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall we do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And he answered, and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself and said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, well, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Well, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will come again, and I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. So we have this man who is wondering about eternal life, and we read in 1 John this week that he who's a murderer hates his brethren does not have eternal life abiding in him. And so this man is questioning, how do I get eternal life abiding in me? And so Jesus says, well, I think you know. And so he answers, well, yeah, we got to love God and we have to love our neighbor. So who is my neighbor? And so Jesus goes on to with this parable about the Good Samaritan, you know, the people who should have cared for this man who had fallen among thieves and was beaten and left naked on the roadside. They didn't want anything to do with him. They, you know, skirted the other side. Are we like that as believers? Do we see needs and do we go, not touching that, you know? sometimes we look at the people who live on this triangle and we get a little fearful and we don't want to touch that, you know, and so we kind of skirt by the other side, or we see somebody walking down the street and maybe they look a little different. Maybe there's body piercing and tattoos or whatever, and so we'll maybe cross to the other side of the street and walk by. We can do that as believers, but here in this story we see this is a man from Jerusalem, and we have a priest and we have a Levite. So we have a Jew who's injured. And we have, so you would have to believe that the priest and the Levite are brethren, yet they want nothing to do with this man. And then we have a Samaritan who's supposed to have nothing to do with the Jews. The Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. They shun them. And what happens? The Samaritan looks, and what is the word? He saw him and had compassion on him. We need to look at the needs around us. And we have to have compassion. We need to pray, Lord, give me a heart of compassion. What does it say about Jesus in the end of Psalms? The Lord is gracious and compassionate, full of mercy, good to all that he has made. Believers, unbelievers, he's good to them all. He has compassion. I know I ask the Lord many, many times, give me more compassion. I don't have enough compassion. Give me the love of Jesus, because I need to look on people and love them the way that Jesus loves them. Or you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be like the priest and I'm going to be like the Levite and I'm going to walk on the other side of the road. I need to see them with Jesus' eyes. Otherwise, I'm not going to want to reach out my hand like the Proverbs 31 woman. I'm going to want to skirt that issue. So we have to ask him for that, because it goes against our nature to do that. We have to ask him to be filling us and to give us his eyes. And he went so far above and beyond the call of duty here. He gave of his own possessions. He must have had oil and wine with him, because it says right on the spot he poured oil and wine on his wounds and he bandaged him up there. But not only that, he put him on his animal. He took this man to the inn where he could be properly cared for. And even beyond that, he said, if there's anything beyond what I've already done, let me know and I'll take care of that too. And so I believe for us in this, we can say again, Lord, what do you want me to do? Stretch me. This goes beyond what I can do. This goes beyond my comfort zone. But you know what? He's going to bring us beyond what we physically have or what we feel we can do. This man went above and beyond, I believe, what anybody would even expect of him. He said, let me take care of even what I don't see, you know. So, Lord, show me where I can help, how I can help. And how can we do that? Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Have the same mind as Christ. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. So remember I said the title of this message was worldly love versus godly love. How does the world love? They love selfishly. If they are going to help somebody, it's usually because they're going to get something in return. They're looking to gratify self. And so, yep, I may do this, but make sure you fill out the tax receipt for me so that I get my tax break. Let me, whatever, you know. Yeah, you know, my neighbor, I don't believe he's a believer, but he could have said, well, yeah, you can have the bed, you can have the table, you can have the recliner, but, you know, I'll take a few $100 for it. The world kind of acts that way, you know. I was blessed when he said, no, we don't want anything for it. That, you know, tremendous blessing there, but especially for a non-believer. But the world usually does stuff because they have something to gain for it. And so it says, let nothing be done out of selfish ambition or conceit. You know, maybe they're just looking for the pat on the back. Look at me, look at what I did, you know. But in lowliness of mind, so in humility, esteem others better than yourself. You know, that good Samaritan on the roadside there, he esteemed this man better than himself. He took care of him. He used his own goods for him. He put him on his own donkey, and he went above and beyond the call. He put him in, you know, the inn to be taken care of. And then he said, I'll take care of even what else is needed. He esteemed this man better than himself. Let each of you look not only to your own interest. Yes, we do need to take care of ourselves. We all have our own needs. So God doesn't say forget yourself, but just as you would take care of yourself, but also look to the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so if we are like-minded with Christ, if we have fellowship with the Spirit, he's going to give us that love and affection and mercy that we need towards others. We will automatically, I believe, see needs that other people have, and we're going to go, you know what? I can take care of that need. I can offer something of myself. Verse 7, it says that Jesus, if we're like-minded with him, if we have the same mind as Jesus, we're going to humble ourselves. We're not going to think, well, what will it look like if I'm hanging out with that person? What's going to happen if I stop and talk to that person? What if they reject what I say? What if, you know, our reputation isn't going to matter? What's going to matter is reaching out to that person. Taking on the form of a bondservant. Now, I know Pastor Fred's explained bondservants. I don't know if you know about a bondservant or not, but slaves of a master were slaves for 7 years, and in the seventh year, that slave was freed. But if the slave felt good about being with that master, if they enjoyed serving that master, they could go to that master and say, I'm choosing to be your bond servant, which meant that they were bonding themselves to that master forever now. And they actually would put a tag in their ear, and it signified that they were now the bond servant of this master. They were their servant by choice. And that's what we become when we accept Jesus as our Savior. We become his servant by choice. It's a choice that we make. So as Jesus made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a bondservant, we need to be humble and take on the form of a bondservant. And how do we do that? By serving one another when the Lord prompts us to do so. And Jesus went so far in verse 8 that he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, taking on the sin of the world. And in the verses we looked at this week, in chapter 3, it says in verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his own life for us. We also ought to lay down our own lives for the brethren. Will God ever ask us to give our life for somebody, our physical life for somebody? Maybe. Maybe not. But I believe what he's asking us to do here is give of ourselves. When we lay down our lives for somebody, we're willing to set aside what we need, what we want. We're going to set aside what satisfies us to meet somebody else's needs. We're going to lay down ourselves. We're going to lay down, deny self, and serve somebody else. In John chapter 13, where Jesus washes the disciples' feet, taking on that ultimate example of a servant, the lowly servant who washed the disciples' feet. In verse 15, he says to his disciples, "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you." So just, you know, what would Jesus do in this situation? I know we talked about that last time, how cliche that verse or that statement became, the bracelets and everything, WWJD, what would Jesus do? But last time we got together, I said, you know what, it's okay to ask that question, because I think in any situation that arises, we need to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do in this case? How would Jesus serve in this case? How would Jesus meet this need? Would he just walk the other way? I don't think so. He would reach out his hand. He would say to that man with the crippled hand, reach out your hand, stretch forth your hand. He would stop and touch the leper. He would heal. He would meet any need that he came across. Are we willing to do that? I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. We need to follow his example, that example of being a bondservant to the Father, and we need to follow the example of being a servant, being like-minded to Christ, and praying, what should we do? Matthew chapter 25. Another familiar story, the sheep and the goats, where Jesus talks about separating the sheep from the goats, beginning in verse 32, says, "All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" So here we see examples of people who it was just a natural part of their life, taking care of people. It's just what they did. Because when he says to them, "Well, you fed me, you gave me drink, you visited me, you took me in," they say, "When did we do that?" You know, it's just part of who they are, natural part of their life, because Jesus is dwelling in them. And he says, "Well, when you did it to that person, when you helped that person, when you talked to that person, when you fed that person, when you brought that person in, when you comforted that person, you did it to me." And then he will also say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer them and say, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So again, how do we have eternal life abiding in us? By being like-minded with Jesus and by meeting the needs of the brethren, meeting the least of the needs, the one that you would most likely want to walk the other side of the road and pass by. Jesus wants us to meet those needs. Yeah, they may be a little annoying out here. They may be a lot annoying out here, but they have needs that need to be met, and we can meet them. It may just be a kind word. There may not be very many kind words for the people out on the street, but we can be a kind word. We can be a compassionate hand. You know, when we did the clothing and hot dog giveaway last year, you want to know what the biggest question we had from people who came from this street? Why are you doing this? Nobody has ever, there are churches all over this city. We've never seen anything like this. And don't you want money for it? Because doesn't the world's love say, I want something in return? We're like, we want nothing. They're like, really? Can't we pay you for this? We're like, we want nothing. And the question was, why are you doing this? You know why? Because Jesus loves you and he wants you to know that he loves you. It was something that blew their mind. And it was a frequent question. Can't we give you some? Taking something for free was not the norm. Getting something for nothing was not the norm. And then to, on top of it, be told, Jesus loves you. It was big. You know, yeah, they did not flood into the church's door, but there were seeds planted. You do it unto the least of these. You've done it unto me, Jesus says. And then we have to also ask another question. What is our motive for doing what we do? Yes, God's given this stuff. What are we going to do with what he's given us? But what is the motive? One of the comparisons in 1 John chapter 3 was Cain and Abel. And a lot of people say, well, you know, Cain gave a offering and Abel gave an offering. Why was one accepted and why was one not? And some people will say, well, because Abel gave a meat offering and Cain didn't give a meat offering. Well, Cain didn't work with meat or animals. Abel did. So it can't be that, because God wouldn't expect us to give something that isn't what we don't have. So there was something else that made his offering unacceptable to God. And I believe it was the motive behind why he gave it. Abel gave the first fruits and it came from the heart. There was something behind what Cain did, that there was a bad motive there. And God saw right through that. And guess what? He can see right through our motives. It may look really good what we're doing, but is it because we want the pat on the back? Is it because we want to be seen? Is there something we want in return? Do we want man to see what we're doing? Should never be. All glory needs to go to God. Colossians 3, 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to man, knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Why do we do what we do? Because we serve Jesus. We don't want to do it for man. Will man be blessed? Yes, man will be blessed. Will we be blessed when we serve, when we reach out, when we meet people's needs? Yes, we will. So many times, I've even done some serving grudgingly. But you know what? God always blesses me. You know, do I deserve a blessing when I do it grudgingly? No, I don't. But when we do reach out, when we do serve, you know what? we think, well, that person who's going to receive what we do is going to be blessed. But so many times I think we receive an even bigger blessing when we do reach out and we serve. But we do it heartily from the heart to the Lord, because our reward comes from Him. We ultimately serve Him, and that should be the motive behind anything that we do, because we serve Him. And I want to close tonight in a little bit of a different way. I have two songs that I'm going to play. When I first got saved, I knew that I needed to listen to some different music than what I was listening to, and I went to some of my Christian friends and I asked them, well, you know, can you just give me some names of some people who are good Christian artists that I could listen to? And one of the names that came up and was Keith Green. And I don't know if any of you know of Keith Green, but he is my absolute favorite person to listen to. If I had to give up all of my music and could keep one album or artist, it would be Keith Green, because he is so to the point in his music. He is not afraid to say what he thinks or what he thought. He has died in a plane crash many years ago, but his music was just incredible to me. And so I have a couple songs here that line up totally with this. He used scripture. These go along with what we've studied. The first one is called The Sheep and the Goats. This is just a portion of the song. I don't know. I hope you can see this, but and that it's not going to buffer completely.
Much as you've not done it for the least of my brethren, you've not done it unto me. In as much as you've not done it to the least of my brethren, you've not done it unto me. Depart from me. And these shall go away into everlasting fire, but the righteous into eternal life.
A little convicting. And hearing it in that light, I think we need to ask ourselves, too, do we have a list of, well, I'll serve these people, I'll meet these needs, but I won't meet these needs. Again, like the priest and the Levite, are there certain things that will walk around, or are we willing to meet any need that Jesus brings our way? I found this as I watched this and was listening to that just today. Very convicting, you know, because there are certain things that, make me nervous, you know. About a month ago or so, Fred had a coworker whose daughter was dying. We prayed for her. We sent out prayer requests for her. Mm-hmm. Fred came to me and said, I'd like to go visit her. And when the first time he came to me, I didn't know what was going on with her. I knew that it had come out that she had some sort of blood infection. And he had said it was something that had come from childhood and what she was just dealing with and originally went. But he couldn't get a hold of his coworker at the timing, and so we didn't go. Well, a couple days later, he had talked to his coworker and found out what was really going on. And it turned out that this girl had MRSA, which is a very dangerous staph infection and can be spread easily. You may tell me not easily, but I believe it can be, depending on the circumstances. And Fred said to me, I'd like to go visit her. And after I found out what was going on with her, I told him no. I'm embarrassed to say I told him no, but I was afraid. So in this list of, would you do it to the least of these, my brethren? I had this list. Okay, Lord, ask me to do this. Ask me to do this, but don't ask me to do that. Because what if I maybe not contact it myself, but what if I bring it home to somebody in my family? What if I bring it home to one of my kids? You know, it was like fear just shot up through me. And so I had this little bit of me that said, yes, Lord, if it's on my checklist, but no, Lord. Yes, Lord, if it's on this part of my checklist, but no, Lord, if it's on this part of my checklist, you know. And boy, the Lord really had to do a work in my heart. We did eventually go up to the hospital. We did not see the girl herself, but we did, you know, talk to her parents and but convicted because we need to be careful. You know, are there certain people who might be laying by the roadside who will walk around? And yes, I am very ashamed to say I would have walked by that girl and not gone there because I was afraid. And I think that sometimes we have to check our hearts and say, okay, Lord, I really do want to have compassion. I really do want to have the love of Christ. And if it is the same love of Christ, he did reach out to the leper. And he does promise that he will protect us. And yes, if I had gone in there, and yes, if I had contracted something, and, you know, nothing's allowed in our lives that doesn't pass through the hand of God, you know. And so we can't let fear keep us from doing things, you know. The only difference between the sheep and the goats is what they did and didn't do. Very convicting. And then there's another song. It's a lot similar along the lines, again by Keith Green. It's called Asleep in the Light, and, you know, it's just, again, one of those things where I believe that it's asking us, what are we going to do? Are we awake? Are we going to see a need, and are we going to meet that need? Or are we going to walk on the other side of the road? Are we going to walk around it? Are we asleep in the light? Are we just letting things pass by? Are we saying it with our mouth? Are we loving in word and in tongue, but not loving in deed and in truth? Are we putting action to our words? So again, this is called asleep in the night. I'm going to pray. We'll just let the song close us out, though. Father, we again thank you for your word. We thank you for the conviction of your word, your Holy Spirit, Lord. I know that this lesson really ministered to my heart this week. It showed me some areas where I need some work, Lord, and I know that I have walked the other side of the street, saw the need, and let it go. But I pray that you would help me rather to stop and bandage the wounds, reach out the hand, whatever needed, Lord, that I would take action. I would pray that for all of us, Lord. May your word have a changing effect on our lives, Lord. Again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your finger that you put on those areas, Lord, that need change. Thank you for the areas where we see, Lord, that your word is so assuring, Lord. We thank you for those areas where we are assured that you are in us, that your word is abiding in us, Lord. But we do pray that you would clean anything out that doesn't really belong there, Lord. Help us to be awake in the light, Lord, not asleep in the light. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. again. Very convicting. And what I've been there.
The one?
Asleep in the Light. Keith Green again.
Yeah.
But again, I'll leave you with the questions I asked. What are we doing with what God gives us? And what's our motive behind what we're doing? Are we asleep in the Light? Is God bringing people to our door and we're turning them away? Or are we reaching out and meeting the needs?